Instability and violence also in West Africa. Civil wars have ravaged Liberia and Sierra Leone over the past decade. There is a long-standing separatist rebellion in Senegal, and now there are growing fears for the future of Ivory Coast. It has long been considered the most stable and prosperous country in the region, but the Ivorian military seized power in December of 1999. The dictatorship was short-lived. A civilian president took office last October, but the new government has been unable to break the cycle of violence. Ivan Watson reports now from the Ivory Coast's commercial capital, Abidjan.
The train north to Ouagadougou leaves three times a week, and these days it's almost always packed. Alassane Kabare is one of the many citizens originally from the neighboring state of Burkina Faso who is on board the train. After 6 years in Ivory Coast, he's leaving because he doesn't feel welcome or safe here anymore. I've had enough. I need to leave now, he says. Before, we lived well together, but now there's been a change of government, and the Ivoirians don't want foreigners here. The police harass you, ask for your documents, and take your money. Sometimes they beat you. It's not working out for me here anymore. Kabare isn't the only one going. Officials in Burkina say more than 67,000 of their expatriate countrymen have come home since last October. Foreigners make up 40% of Ivory Coast's population and supply the labor force that's crucial for the country's economy. Their flight is just one consequence of the instability and violence now endemic in Ivory Coast. The country that was once called the West African Miracle has been in political crisis since its first military coup in December 1999. Civilian President Laurent Gbagbo came to power last October on the back of a popular revolt. His first months in office have been anything but calm. Hundreds have died in several clashes between Gbagbo's supporters and members of a rival opposition party, the Rally of Republicans, or RDR. The violence has exacerbated tensions between the country's Muslim north and largely Christian south. On January 7th, government troops fought rebels who tried to seize the national radio station in what was later termed a coup attempt. The government blamed the RDR. Dozens of party members have been arrested and charged with incitement and rebellion. During a visit to Washington last week, RDR's leader, Alassane Ouattara, denied accusations that his party was trying to overthrow the government.
This is just a political manipulation. We don't recognize ourselves in these charges. How would a political party make a coup? We don't have arms and we have nothing to be able to stage a coup.
Opposition activists aren't the only ones critical of the Ivoirian government. Newspaper reporter Joachim Begre says Gbagbo's civilian government is even more dangerous than the previous military dictatorship. Begre says it's as if you replaced the military regime with a civilian one that keeps the same methods. But the Ivoirian communications minister, Douaya Liabi, rejects the allegations. He says the stepped-up military and police deployment now is aimed solely at protecting the elected government and ensuring there is no more trouble.
De mon point de vue, il y a eu un coup d'état en Côte d'Ivoire.
There has already been one coup d'etat in Ivory Coast, he says. There won't be a second one. The police and military are working to contain the threat. They are searching for illegal weapons. Government spokesmen insist life here is returning to normal. But at Abidjan's bustling Adjamé market, merchants disagree. Fabric saleswoman Fatou Traoré says not only is business bad, but the people are scared of more fighting. With the new president, everything is worse, she says. Everybody is scared of the police. We think about civil war sometimes. At Abidjan's international school, they're preparing for the worst. 4 days of classes have already been canceled this year due to street fighting and riots. Deputy Director Rob Walbridge supervised the installation of new security measures to protect his students.
It's about $50,000 worth of infrastructure that's put in, including reinforced concrete structures around the perimeter, additional guard posts, alarm systems, and Mylar protection on the windows. And then, of course, a security plan to to prepare everybody for numerous different eventualities.
Wallbridge and many other observers believe the battle for power here is not over yet. 10% of the school's students have already left the country, while the rest of the school's families are waiting nervously to see what comes next. For NPR News, I'm Ivan Watson in Abidjan.